What is the difference between godliness and legalism? Sometimes when this is asked and someone gives the definition of godliness, it actually is legalism or even pietism. The difference is important, and the Bible talks about it often. And today, Justin and I want to explain to you where heart-filled, God-glorifying godliness comes from and the damages of the lies of Satan, which is legalism and pietism. Stay tuned. If you're new to Theocast, you may not have heard of this word. It's called pietism. Have you ever felt like the Christian life is a heavy burden versus rest and joy? That you wake up worrying about how well you're going to perform instead of thinking about what Christ has done for you? It's dread versus joy, really. That's pietism. Pietism causes Christians to look in on themselves and find their hope, not in what Christ has done, but what they're doing. And we have a little book for you. It's free. We want you to download it. And we're going to explain the difference between pietism and what we call confessionalism, Reformed theology, really, how it is that we walk by faith, seeing the joy of Christ. And when Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest, what does that look like? You can download it at our website. Just go to theocast.org. Welcome to Theocast, encouraging weary pilgrims to rest in Christ. Conversations about the Christian life from a Reformed perspective. Today, Justin and I, we seek to remove the clutter off the gospel and explain what does it mean to seek first the kingdom of Christ. What is the kingdom? That's a good question. So, Justin, it's good to record, my friend. It's been a little while, but it's good to be behind the microphones again.
Yeah, it is, man. We are not recording on our normal day. And so we're both, admittedly, we're recording on a Monday, which is kind of tough for us, you know, coming off of Sunday and everything that entails. We're a little weary, but we trust the Lord in it.
Well, and the reason we're recording on a Monday is that we're going to be guests on Remnant Radio, and we'll hopefully be able to put that on our feed as well. So stay tuned for that podcast, talking about the law and the gospel, which pretty sure we never get tired of talking about. One other announcement for you. If you're not a part of our community, which is where everything happens, we've got an entire education series. There's a community that encourage each other and ask questions. All of my sermons and Justin's, the conferences, everything is on our app called The Community. But Justin, we have our very first conference. We've had some mini conferences, one-day conferences, but we have our very first two-day conference that's going to be coming up next year. And tell them who our guests are. Before I give them the dates, tell them who are the two guests we got in the conference this year, next year.
Yeah, the two guys we have coming to speak along with you and me are Chad Bird, whom our listeners will know, and Ken Jones, who our listeners will know as well. Both of these guys have done several episodes with us over the years. We're grateful for both of them and look forward to talking with them. We're talking about law and gospel, which we're going to be doing with Remnant Radio. That too is going to be the driving theme for our conference, is the law and the gospel. And so things related to that. And I am looking forward to what Ken and Chad would say along those lines. And I trust it's going to be a really encouraging time, not only with the talks, the messages given, but singing and just being together, hanging out, enjoying each other's company.
Yep. So limited registration, like very limited. We're going to be hosting this in Asheville, North Carolina. It's going to be at Justin's church. And so we don't have a lot of space available. So you're going to want to sign up, because once we're sold out, we're sold out. It's going to be April the 10th through the 12th. Yep. You can register at our website. We try to keep the cost as minimal as possible so that all of you can come that would like to come. And so, go to theocast.org and learn more about that. And we're pretty excited about it. So, Justin, I don't really want to take much more time. I don't have any more announcements. I want to go ahead and jump into the subject, just because we need all the time we can get. This is a confusing topic, and I'm not going to do the intro. Yeah. I'm going to let you do the intro. What are we talking about today?
I'll try to get to it myself here. The title of the episode is Godliness versus Legalism, and you know, Truth in Advertising, we gave it that title because it just is going to resonate with more people, because legalism is sort of a buzzword and godliness is a relatively common word that's used as well. Another way that we might frame this conversation for those of you who have been listening to us for a while or tracking with us over the years is piety versus pietism. So whether you want to look at it through the lens of godliness versus legalism or piety versus pietism, this is what we're going to try to get at today. And so, not to bury the lead here, piety and godliness are wonderful things. So to to live a thoughtful life, to live an upright life, to live with wisdom, to pursue things that God says are good, to flee from things that God says are evil. This is a wonderful thing, that we would be sanctified, that we would not only honor the Lord in the way that we live, but that we would be a blessing to our neighbor. Like, these are things that we should value and cherish and pursue. And so all of the things that we say regularly about the law and the gospel and not collapsing those things, or about the utter sufficiency of Jesus to save us and what our union with him means, or even the ways that we'll point out the errors that do exist in the contemporary church and how assurance is often eroded and burdens are heaped upon the saints that ought not be put upon them. None of those things should ever be misconstrued to mean that godliness and an upright life and piety in these regards is somehow not a good thing, or that these things are bad. And so the last way I might frame it is, sometimes when people are new to confessional theology or Reformed theology in general, or they're seeing for the first time the distinction between the law and the gospel, they're seeing the utter sufficiency of Jesus to save them, there is a cage stage that comes along with that, right? Kind of like the cage stages of Calvinism.
Covenant theology.
Yeah. Where, like, covenant theology, all that, yeah, because you react so strongly against dispensationalism, maybe. There is a tendency we all have to overreact, and everything that we came from is terrible, and we need to burn it all down. And so any talk of obedience or any talk of godliness is legalism now for some. And that's not helpful. And so what we want to do is try to reframe that conversation and demonstrate how it's good to pursue obedience, it's good to pursue holiness, it's good to pursue all of those things, but the way we pursue piety and godliness and holiness and the reasons why we pursue it have completely changed from where we maybe were before. And so hopefully we're able to point these things out to the listener, and this, we hope, for those of you listening to this, will encourage you and stir you up and make you see, man, the Lord is really good, and his law is good, and I want to live in a way that honors him and is good for my neighbor, but I'm not doing that from a place of fear. I'm not doing that as a slave. I'm doing that from a place of knowing that I am loved and adopted by God, and I'm now his beloved child.
Yeah. Godliness and pietism, stated bluntly, in my opinion, are lies. They're just lies from the evil one, because they are making promises that cannot pay out.
Do you mean legalism and pietism?
What did I say?
Is that what you meant? You said godliness.
Legalism and pietism. I think you meant. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. It is Monday and we are tired. I was preaching yesterday, and I kept, I was reading through the list of, like, the points we were going to cover in the text. Instead of saying hospitality, I kept saying hostitality or hostality. And everybody's looking at me. I'm like, what did I say? They're like, you said hostality. So, hospitality. Anyways. They're lies because they're rooted in anti-gospel, anti-Christ's power. They're rooted in fleshly power, and they're rooted in the law. So pietism and legalism are both rooted in the law, and it seeks to use the law as to gain progress, whether it's progress in God's affection towards you, progress in righteousness, progress in fighting sin. And I'll have to say, Justin, a lot of times when I see people who are trapped in legalism and pietism, they're not bad people. They're not people who want to be there.
No. They're sincere, well-intentioned.
They tend to be very dedicated, very, very much affectionate towards the things of God. But they, it could be a number of ways. It could be how they grew up. It could be they had a bad mentor. I mean, who knows how I was raised in pietism, so that's how I was introduced into it.
Sure.
It's powerful because it's been around from the day of the New Testament. I mean, I think there's almost every New Testament epistle is going to warn us against either legalism or pietism. Paul does it often.
So, yeah, for sure. Let me jump in really quick for those who might be brand new to us. So when we say the word legalism, what we mean is that you are obeying, you are keeping God's law for righteousness. Like, you are seeking to obey and keep the law for your standing before God. So that's huge. And then pietism is related, but a little bit different in that it is an overemphasis on you in terms of your obedience, your performance, your sincerity, your fervor, your devotion, your discipline, you fill in the blank. That's the emphasis of the teaching and the conversation pertaining to the Christian life, rather than the emphasis being Jesus for you, and then you being seen through the lens of him. It becomes about really you at the end of the day. So it's not one and the same with legalism, but they are very much related.
Yeah,
so.
Pietism is really an emphasis on self-examination, where we're constantly looking at our performance.
Yeah. Yeah, hyper introspection.
And I'll say this, right? Justin, it's very similar to legalism, but it is different in that it might be pursuing the correct view of godliness, but it's trying to do it often in fleshly means, right? Through self-discipline. Yeah. So versus godliness, man, it's so funny how Satan has taken legalism and pietism, not the words, but the concepts, and make them extremely attractive to the believer. And it makes godliness seem, you know, bad to some. Well, it's like, it's repulsive to some people.
Right. Well, like you're saying, legalism and pietism ruin godliness, and legalism and pietism ruin piety for people. Because I think here's the thing, is you see this inconsistency where, like, especially with the pietism crowd. So think, when we say pietism as well, think like bad Puritanism, hyper introspection, you know, where I think people are often happy to acknowledge that when it comes to their justification, the fact that they've been declared righteous, forgiven of sin, et cetera, that is completely by a righteousness that has been wrought by Jesus. But then when it comes to sanctification, they now are going to be sanctified by a holiness that is wrought by themselves, right? And that is damaging. And what that does for some people, it makes you this very serious kind of self-righteous person who's very uncharitable towards others. For many, I think it makes you very anxious, and you despair of the fact that you're not doing well enough. And sometimes for folks, and this is where I think a lot of our listeners have come from, they are so exhausted and discouraged and are questioning whether or not they're even Christians at all, right? Or certainly they're convinced they're not good ones, whatever that means. And this is a result of the legalism and pietism stuff, and it beats people to death. And so there is an understandable reaction against it. Anyway, I hope I'm making some sense. But that's what you're saying, is that legalism and pietism kind of ruin godliness for people, because it does sound terrible.
One of my favorite videos early on when YouTube first came out was this young kid, and he is handed a jackhammer, and the guy kind of points at the ground like, hey, tear up the sidewalk. And he goes to town, and you can see he wants to impress the boss and several of the workers that are around there. And so he starts picking this thing up and slamming it on the ground using the right edge. He's just picking it up and slamming it down, And he's using his arms as the force, right? Yeah,
Not a, rather than
not a sledgehammer.
The
there's a difference. A jackhammer, right? So then about like after a minute of this, and you can see the guy is sweating, the boss walks over, he plugs it in and turns it on. And so I didn't know, the kid kind of just laughs like, oh my word. And this is I think this is a perfect definition of pietism, because pietists seek to do the right thing just for the wrong reasons, in the wrong ways, right? And so they attempt really, really hard to obey God in their own strength, and they're always examining themselves like, look, you know, everybody look at me, I'm picking it up, I'm slamming it down. Whereas we're trying to say, actually, Paul says how you've begun the faith, which is by receiving grace and the gospel, is the same way that you continue in the faith, right? It's the same power. So our godliness is always rooted in the Spirit's power. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So godliness is very much rooted in the position that we are already in. We are in Christ, covered by his righteousness. And so we're not laboring in that way to impress someone. There's nothing to impress. Right. Versus when we're thinking about the whole jackhammer hand, you know, situation, is we're trying to impress the boss because, you know, whatever. And this is what was really helpful for me when I was thinking about the differences between where I used to be in a pietistic context and where I am now. I still am doing the same work, Justin. I do a lot of the same things. Like,
you do a lot.
I mean, like,
of the same
I don't want to lie. I don't want to cheat. I don't want to lust. I don't want to cheat on my wife. You know, I want to. I want to live for the King. But it's how.
Yeah, you want to enjoy the Lord.
But it's how and why I do it that's changed, which we're going to get to in a minute. I don't want to jump the gun here, but
yeah. But you know, with legalism, I think I might say the legalist is obeying or seeking to obey for righteousness, right? they're seeking to obey for salvation, just straight up. Whereas the pietist is often seeking to obey to prove his legitimacy.
To himself and to others.
He's seeking to obey so that he can be assured that he's actually a Christian. And both are joy-robbing. Both are soul-crushing because you can't, when it comes to obedience for righteousness, that's impossible. Because if you've ever rightly seen the law of God, you know immediately that it condemns you and crushes you. And if you think for one second that you can keep the law, it's very clear that you have not understood it. But then when it comes to pietism, you know, this obey well enough to prove your legitimacy or to prove that you're an adopted child of God, or obey well enough so that you can be assured, obey well enough so that you will know that in the end, you'll stand in the judgment. That too is soul crushing, because the question is always, well, how much obedience, how well do I need to be doing? And nobody can really answer that question because the scriptures don't speak this way, which is what we're going to, I think, point out in a minute. Is there's a completely different perspective and a completely different motivation. There's a completely different power unto obedience and godliness that the scriptures present. And that's what we always try to hold out on this show, is this other way.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as you're talking to Justin, I'm thinking about like, okay, so I have a younger brother who's it's like 14 months younger than me, Mark. And let's say my dad gave us both brand new, you know, trucks, you know, right when we could drive. We both got the same truck and we got the same instructions. Hey, boys, you can have this truck is yours. Just take care of it. You know, no obligations, no reason other than I love you. That's why I'm giving you this truck. So there's two responses to that, right? I mean, you can have the one where it's like, man, out of gratitude and a respect for my dad, I'm going to take care of this truck. I'm going to use it what it's used for. And, you know, this is great. Mm-hmm. Versus, you know, let's say my younger brother, because he's my younger brother and I can pick on him and he's probably going to listen to this. He decides to take care of his truck so that he can prove to my father that he's a good kid and that he deserves to have this truck. And that truck belongs to him because of how well he's performed. And then he looks at me and starts judging me for the way that I'm taking care of the truck because I'm not doing it his way. And he's now assuming I don't deserve that truck because of the way I'm treating my... And the funny thing was the parameters were already set. This is yours because I love you and I want to give it to you. And this is what ends up happening in pietism, Justin. I've experienced this. And legalism, people are so judgmental. And because we start looking at how well we are taking care of the truck and we're like, how come you're not doing it this way? It's because I don't have to do it that way because I'm not obligated to do it that way.
That's right. To continue to use the family analogy, I think it's helpful. Might frame it this way. The pietistic perspective would say, all right, you've been brought into the family of God. Now you better obey so that you can remain a part of the family, so that you're not kicked out. Whereas what the gospel actually says, and where we're going today in terms of Christian obedience in the Lord Jesus Christ, is you are a part of the family. That's not changing ever. And now, as a part of this family, here's how we live.
That's good.
It's a completely different approach. And it's one is driven by fear. One is a posture of chasing after something that I don't really have yet, or that's fragile. Yeah. Like it could easily just go away. And then the other, the right perspective from our vantage point, is motivated completely by love and a new identity and a new heart and the fact that God's Spirit has been put within us. Right, and that we have been vitally united to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is our sanctification and is the power unto it. And so we live from that. You know, we're not chasing after anything. We've been given everything. And so now we're going to live accordingly.
Yeah, it is a, and this is probably the thing, if I wanted to, like, if you're kind of been tracking with us for a little bit, pietism and legalism versus what we would say biblical godliness, it really does come down to motivation, right? It really does. And what I mean by that is that often when I meet a pietist or a legalist, for the most part, unless they're a true legalist, they get the gospel right, you know, as far as like how they're saved.
No,
there's, I think there's levels of legalism that can definitely, and then there's a crossover between pietism and legalism sometimes.
Sure.
So I say that's correct, but the difference between someone who lives a godly life in a biblical standpoint is that they are living from the position that they now see themselves. I mean, there's so many titles that we're given, and it's important to pay attention to the titles, right? Child. We're seen as adopted. I love how in 1 Peter, I've been preaching through 1 Peter. Peter says that we are royal priests, right? We carry out the role of royal priest. What's interesting is that Peter is connecting that to our baptism, which is connected to our salvation. So you're not a priest because you earn the position. Now, in the Old Testament, you had to earn the position. You had to do all the right ceremonies and you had to be born of the right tribe. And Jesus is like, I made you a priest. I made this to you. Mm-hmm. And so your motivation to reflect Christ, because what do priests do according to the Old Testament? They're the ones that go between God and man. And he's literally like, that's you, dear child. You're the one that does that. And it's not because you earn the position. And this is so important because then our motivation then becomes 1 John 4, we love the world, we love others,
sure,
because we have already received while we were yet enemies, right? When you were sinners, Christ died for you. So at our worst position we could possibly be, that's when we receive the love. So godliness mm-hmm. is always rooted out of what we have already, right? So we have mm-hmm. in the past our sins forgiven, in the present our sins covered, and in the future a full restoration, completely sealed up by the work of Christ. So we have that now. There's nothing more you can do to increase or decrease your inheritance. Same with your salvation, mm-hmm. right? Now,
yeah,
or your righteousness. That's right.
All that.
Now,
right.
What you can decrease and increase, which is Justin and I have been trying to say this, and I'm trying to think about new ways of saying this, because people are like, then why does it matter? Like, why be holy? And I'm like, are you kidding me? The moment you taste and see how awesome Jesus is, you want others to have the same. Like Justin, you know, we do this naturally. Like, sure. If I see a good movie, I'm like, I want you to watch it. Hey, that was a really good movie. You should watch that. We want you to have the same experience. But when you truly understand the freedom and the love and the joy that we have received in Christ, that is at that moment, we become the ambassadors for God. This is why we still exist and still live, are still alive today. We are to care for each other in the body of Christ, and that we advance the kingdom's message to those who are lost, right? Now, Justin, you can do that very effective if you live a godly life, or you can be very ineffective and actually damaging to the kingdom if you live an ungodly sure. life. But the point of it being, according to the New Testament writers, is they're not worried about your standing, but they are worried about your light, your salt, your effectiveness, your affection for other people and the church. So I think right. there's a difference. Like, godliness is always, I'm rooted and safe in Christ, and I want to express that. I mean, just to read this is the 1 Peter 4:11, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. I mean, that is a great explanation yeah, of godliness. At the end, because he's describing mm-hmm. hospitality and love and affection and serving, and he goes, at the end of it, so that God may be glorified. And when God's glorified, it draws the eyes of the world towards Jesus. This is what we want. You could be really effective at that, Justin, or you could be really bad at it. But as it relates to your relationship to God, which is pietism and legalism, it is not affecting that. And that's just really hard for people to embrace.
Exactly.
Hey guys, real quick, some of you are listening to this and it's encouraging to you, but you have questions. So where do you go? How do you interact with other people who have the same questions and share resources? We have started something called the Theocast Community. We're excited because not only is it a place for you to connect with other like-minded believers, all of our resources are there. Past podcasts, education materials, articles, all of it's there, and you can share it and ask questions. You can go check it out. The link is in the description below.
Well, and the talking about the apostles right now in terms of how mm-hmm. they write and how they exhort, how they encourage and all that, it's very plain that they ground the saints in Christ first, and they point out the marvels of God's grace and mercy. You know, and here's the thing that John and I say all the time is that when you have eyes to see, by the grace of God, when you have eyes to see Jesus for you and God's grace and God's mercy and his compassion and his patience and all of those things, it is remarkable how that begins to change everything That's right. about you. It begins to change how you view everything else. It begins to change how you think. It begins to change how you process things, how you respond to things, right? It will happen. The Lord will do this work in you. And I want to say this as well, because the apostles also make this plain, and this is a biblical truth because the prophets write about this. For everybody who has come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, for every saint out there, God has taken away your heart of flesh and, or excuse me, your heart of stone and given you a heart of flesh. He has brought you from death to life. He has written his law on the heart that he's given you. He has given you his own spirit to dwell in you. And he has united you vitally to the Lord Jesus Christ, who not only is your righteousness and your redemption, he is your sanctification as well. And so now, because of this supernatural work of God, you have become obedient from the heart, right? This is marvelous. And so we should encourage this kind of thing. Not, don't make obedience sound like a trip to the DMV, right? But encourage people towards obedience, because believe it or not, Christians want to, you know, like we want to obey, and we actually can now. So when we hear, we were talking about this a little bit before we hit record, take even the 10 commandments. I'm not going to go through all 10. I'll spare everybody from that. But just think of two or three of the 10 commandments, like as you sit there right now. And then think, obviously, if you have any ounce of sanity in you and you rightly understand God's law, then when you hear, you'll have no other gods before me, you're going to know immediately, well, I haven't done that. I haven't loved the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength for 5 minutes of my life. Or when you hear, do not commit adultery, but you know that that's applied at a spiritual level, and you're thinking, I stand condemned. Or how about commandments 9 and 10? Don't bear false witness. Like, not only don't lie about your neighbor, but interpret charitably everything that your neighbor does. Assume the best of them all the time. And everybody knows, I don't do that. I am guilty. Exactly. Don't covet. Don't be full of envy. When somebody gets something really nice, don't ever have a whiff of a thought like, man, I want that. You know, like, and so we all know in that kind of first use of the law regard, we haven't done it. But here's the thing. For believers, when the law is applied rightly to the heart, we say, man, I haven't loved God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, but man, I want to. Or, you know, I have broken the seventh commandment, but if I'm a single person, I want to live a pure life. If I'm a married person, I also want to live a pure life. And in addition to that, I want to honor and respect my spouse.
Yeah.
I want love and intimacy and trust and fidelity. That's what I want to be about. I want to be good for my neighbor. I want to always speak well of my neighbor. I want to always build them up, not tear them down. I want to always think charitably about them. I want to be content with what God has given me. I don't want to be a covetous person or an envious person, right? And so the Christian wants to obey. And so we should fan those flames. It's like, man, God has given you everything. You know, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The Lord, fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, right? The righteousness of God, Romans, the entire letter, it's given to us by faith in Christ. And it's like, now that he's given you a kingdom that's unshakable and he's given you righteousness that's invincible, man, go love and serve.
Yeah.
And we want to. So we should talk like that.
Yeah. I'm by nature and not a perfectionist. I've been around them and I know.
Yeah. And I am. And this is why, you know, some of our friendship
It's funny because at times we make fun of each other. Even like when I go to your house, I mess with your desk and I think it's funny. Like my office is like, it's a reflection of my personality and it's a reflection of your personality, but this is separate from a spiritual, there's a sense where, I've learned life by failing forward, but I've always had a motivation like that keeps me allowed to keep, like, even when I fail, it doesn't crush me to the moment where I don't want to get back up and I don't want to try again. And I have to have something that motivates me. And Justin, I realized really early on that I'm not a rule keeper. And that's part of the personality of kind of like a perfectionist. They enjoy rules because rules help them feel safe and in control.
Or it helps you feel a sense of achievement.
And I've done
I'm
not a rule breaker. I'm not a rule keeper. And I don't feel like they have to, I need check marks and all this kind of stuff. But I'm a very passionate person and I'm very motivated. And to be honest with you, I really struggled with Christianity early on because I just felt like it was don't mess up. You know, if you want God's favor in your life and you want to end up having good life, go ahead.
Christian living is absent from sin. Full stop. That's the way it's presented.
When I have guys in my office and they're struggling with, you know, looking at things on the internet, I'm like, you know, do you want to live the rest of your life trying not to do that? I mean, this sounds defeating. It's like, you know, great. I made it 40 years of my life and I never did that. It's like.
And the great defining thing in your life is something exactly. that you've not done. You know,
it's that like, is, that's is that like, really that's how righteous self-righteousness comes. It's like, I've made it this, this is what I've done, you know, versus when I think about the way in which my God loves me, you know, how Jesus is just this precious and tender friend. Yeah. Where he treats me as his brother, and he wants to hear all of my struggles. And he's like, no matter what, John, no matter what happens in this life, you are safe and secure, my beloved child.
Amen.
You know what? That just gets me all kinds of excited. And I'm like, man, I'm with you, Justin. It's like, I want to love my wife as Christ loves the church, and I'm going to fail about 1,000 times today, but I got all the motivation in the world to get back up and try again because he loves me. And I want her to feel that love. And I want my kids to feel that love. And I want my neighbor at the gas station to feel that love. And I'm going to fail, but I have this motivation that I just want them to have what I have. And I know they'll get it if they get it through Christ. And Christ says, look, the way that the world gets me is through you, the way that you love and tell the truth. And so I look at godliness as giving away what I already received versus godliness is trying to achieve or maintain something. I can't achieve it. Yeah. I'm not good enough.
No, that's right. We say this a lot. It's maybe been a while since we said it. This is Martin Luther, but it bears repeating. God does not need your good works, but your neighbor sure does. And so that's what you're highlighting is we're not obeying so that the Lord will think well of us, or we're not obeying so that we might have God's favor. He's already told us how he feels about us in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's already told us that we're eternally secure. And so now we go and we seek to obey or live righteous lives and flee from sin. Yes, it's for our good because our lives will go better. I mean,
they do. In my experience, my life goes a lot better.
and then in addition, alongside that, and I think the real point of sanctification is for the building up of those around you. You become a conduit of the Lord's grace and mercy to others. You become a blessing. I mean, I know that can be abused, you know, hashtag be a blessing or whatever, but you become a blessing. Right. Yeah. To people. Yeah. You really do. And you're the kind of person that people want to be near, you know, because man, when I'm near him, when I'm near her, when I'm with this individual, gosh, it's good to be in their presence. And we talk about things, we ebb and flow. Yeah. I mean, we laugh and we enjoy each other, but we talk about things that really do affect my heart and my mind and my day-to-day living. And I mean, that's what we all want to be. Right. And I want to surround myself with those kinds of people. So like you're saying, it's not a matter of standing. It's not a matter of security, but it is a matter of effectiveness. And it's a matter of the building up of the body of Christ. And it's a matter of loving our neighbor so that in the day of the Lord's visitation, he might be glorified.
Yeah. I mean, this verse just sits in the back of my heart constantly when Peter's like, go through suffering. And here's all the ways you'll suffer through government, through relationships, through your job, your employment. And then it says, be ready to give an answer of the hope that lies within you. Why? Because we are living godly lives based upon hope, Justin. Set your hope fully on the grace that is to come, right? He says, be sober-minded, be watchful, and set your hope fully on the grace that is to come. Why? Well, because we are saved by grace, we are sustained by grace, and we are going to be transformed by grace, right? We're going to be finally in glory by God's grace. So our hope is always in front of us. Therefore, we suffer, we endure, we in love based upon grace, not achievement, right? Grace is to receive that which you did not earn. And so I just want to encourage anyone who's like, I don't want to do pietism, but I don't have a motivation to be godly. And my encouragement to you is where that motivation comes from, like 2 Corinthians 3, when it says that we look at the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, right? That's what draws us to him. We want to be like him because he's wonderful and glorious. And so be in a church, be around people who love Christ. The motivation, we all need to obey. I'm going to tell you this right now. So Justin, you and I are not antinomians. We want you to obey from the heart, fully, as best you can through the power of the Spirit. But to do that, you need the motivation, and the motivation always comes from the gospel. So my encouragement to you is be in a good gospel preaching church. Justin, any final words?
No, build your house upon the rock. build the house of your life upon the rock, which is not your obedience. It's Christ's obedience. It's Christ's righteousness. But then as you stand there, as you live life, as you've been pulled upon to the rock that is higher than you, you know, then now that you know rest and peace and eternal security and joy in the Lord, go and love and serve and do, right? Because that's what the Lord has called us to. And it really is a joy to do that and a joy to love and serve your neighbor in those ways. And if any of you listening to us are preachers or pastor types out there, my last word too is if you want to see obedience and you want to see sanctified people in your church, you better preach Jesus. Because it's Christ in him for us is the only power unto sanctification that I ever have known. You can, through willpower and discipline and all that kind of stuff, and beating people up with the law, you can produce some folks who will get in line
for a while.
But it is not the kind of sanctification and obedience that we're talking about. Because what we're talking about is supernatural.
Doesn't last.
It is the work of God in the hearts of his people as Christ is held out to them.
Dear believer, obey not to reach the king, but obey because the king reached you and loves you and transformed you. That's why we obey. Amen. Well, thank you for listening, and thank you for being a part of this ministry, and we'd love to see you inside the community app. There's like well over 1,500 people in there now. It's growing. And it's a great, safe community. As Justin always says, it's like Facebook, but better with no ads. So there's the last ad for the day. We'll see you guys, Lord willing, in the presence of our King. But if not there, we'll have another podcast for you next week, Lord willing. See you later.
Hey, everyone, before you go, Justin and I first wanted to say thank you. And if this has been encouraging to you in any way, please feel free to share it. But we also need your support. And it's when you give that it really helps us financially reach more people. So the next time you consider giving to a ministry, we hope that you would pray about Theocast and partner with us as we share the gospel around the world.